The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took the boy up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it was written in the law, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the law. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Christ. He came in this spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and he blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you can let me die in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have now seen the salvation which you have prepared in sight of all the peoples, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined for the fall and for the rise of many in Israel. He will be a sign of contradiction, and you yourself, a sword will pierce your heart, that the thoughts of many other hearts will be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but she worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very moment, she also gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law, Mary and Joseph returned to Galilee, to their own little town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is good news from the Lord. So on this, our patronal feast, Sagrada Familia, the Feast of the Holy Family, let's just say a few things that might come out of this reading that might also be helpful. I never know if what I say is helpful. But let's note, first of all, that the very fact of Mary and Joseph taking Jesus and presenting him in the temple is probably a good model for what all of us have to do. Probably most of you parents, at least I would if I were a parent, learn it too late, that you don't own your children. And sometimes your children take very different paths than you would have chosen for them. And I'm sure that must be very hard at times. But that's really the meaning, right at the beginning, of handing over your children to God, saying, in the end, we do not possess our children. You bring them into this world, but each in your own way have to finally hand them over to God. And sometimes they have very different personalities or choices or careers than you would have chosen for them. I'm sure it must take 1,000 letting goes to be a parent today. What we see here is a certain way through this, that from the very beginning, say, this child belongs to you, God. I'll do the best I can. But finally, they belong to your choice and not to mine. Secondly, the fact that they offer two young pigeons, if we would go back and read in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, we see that's the first giveaway, although the stable was also one, that Mary and Joseph are not from the upper class, not even from what we would call the middle class, but were very poor people. Ordinary people, when they presented their child at the temple, were expected to offer a sheep or a goat, which was much more valuable, of course. But then it made a little concession. If you're really poor and you cannot afford a sheep or a goat, you can give two little pigeons. And the fact that this is what Mary and Joseph give shows how poor they really were, and should also tell us for the rest of our lives to be very patient and loving around the poor, because Mary and Joseph were one of those. Then we have really what is the model for what we later called godparents, godmothers, and godfathers. As Hillary Clinton said in her book a few years back, it takes a village to raise a child. And what we have here is Mary and Joseph, symbolically as it were, finding two godparents named Simeon and Anna in the temple. Two other members of what we would call an extended family who would somehow pray for this child, be an inspiration for this child. I think in many ways we probably lost that tradition. My godfather would give me a quarter on New Year's Day. And for the rest of the year, he was pretty much like everybody else. And that wasn't because he didn't love me, I don't think, but he was poor too. And that was probably all that was ever given to him. So we don't have godparents to get gifts from them. We have godparents like Simeon and Anna to join with our parents in offering us to God and giving us spiritual wisdom, not material gifts, which most of us have far too many of after this Christmas, I'm sure. Then there's that most prophetic line from Simeon, where he says, "This child will be a sign of contradiction. He will be the sign that some will rise on and some will fall on." And he says, "Mary, you yourself will join in that contradiction. A sword will pierce your heart." And this became symbolized in the Mater Dolorosa. You've all seen it in Spanish art, where we have seven swords piercing the heart of Mary. And again, I think it is an honest prophecy of what probably not just Mary, but all parents go through in raising their children. They don't always live up to what we expect. Sometimes we do not understand what they are doing. And I'm sure all of you who are parents here have, like Mary, had your hearts pierced. But it also says that this Jesus is a paradox. He will make us understand things, but will also give us things that we can't understand. That's what we mean by a sign of contradiction. You'll sometimes want to believe in him, and sometimes, at least if you're like me, you wish you'd never heard of him, because now you have to change your life. Then finally, it says they return to their own little town of Nazareth. The really amazing thing that makes them a holy family, because honestly, who of us can imitate them? She was a virgin who had a child, which isn't a normal family. Joseph had to deal with that, and I'm sure didn't understand that. And we would say was not even the physical father. He must have lived in some kind of confusion or doubt or radical faith. And Jesus himself, we would believe, is the Son of God. So this is not like every other family. And even though our parish was named Holy Family to inspire us to build good families, what we can say, and that's revealed in the last line of this gospel, is that even Jesus apparently changed and grew up. You know, when I was a little Catholic, before I was able to study the scriptures, I assumed, as maybe you do, that Jesus knew all the answers at the very beginning. And even when he was laying there in the little manger, he was just pretending. He knew it all. He knew the outcome. He knew how it was going to end. Well, this line from Luke's gospel is the great text that tells us that was not true. It says he grew in wisdom, in age, and in grace. He grew, which is permission for all of us to grow up. We don't get it all at the beginning. And don't hate yourself for not getting it all at the beginning. That's why God gives us, as the psalmist says, 70 years or 80 if we are strong, to little by little comprehend the mystery. So it was not just Jesus, but all of us who are given space, time, grace, and freedom to grow in wisdom, in age, and in grace. And that's why you come here. So that this day and this year, 2012, and hopefully 2011, can be another year of grace and growth.